Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. Tyler Donahue and Sean Fitz with you once more. And following a seven-week wait, Penn State has picked up a pair of commitments for the 2022 recruiting class in a five-day span. We focused on offensive lineman Malik McNeil earlier in the week. Now he has company, and so do the other eight commitments on board. Tyrese Mills, a safety at Lackawanna College, a familiar pipeline program at the junior college level for Penn State during recent cycles, is the latest on board. Penn State now situated at 10 commitments, number six class in the country per the 24/7 Sports composite. And Sean, I don't know, about an hour before Tyrese Mills announced his decision on Wednesday, you called me. You felt like something was brewing there, was imminent. We weren't sure what the timing would be. I don't know about you, but I did not have any time to put a crystal ball pick in. This one moved fast for Tyrese Mills and the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, this one was going. I was actually writing my crystal ball story, and it turned into a commitment story. That's happened a couple of times. But yeah, this is definitely one that I wouldn't say caught us off guard, because once he picked up the Penn State offer, he's a Lackawanna kid, hasn't really had anything go on from since then. So it kind of, everything pointed to Penn State. It was just a matter of timing on this end. But yeah, it was one of those things that sort of crept up on us. I think he was offered March 30th. He missed my April big board because he had just been offered. And usually those things have worked themselves into a finely tuned machine by the time that the end of the month, the previous month happens. So it kind of was out of sight, out of mind. But when you take into account Lackawanna kid, that position, Penn State has obviously recruited Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown as safeties from Lackawanna. And it really made sense. So this one came up on us quick, but wasn't really the flash in the pan out of nowhere commitment that we didn't see coming.
And this was a name that we referenced on the podcast in late March, early April, following this offer. I had a chance to speak with Tyrese Mills pretty much immediately after that offer came out for Penn State. And right away, I mean, on hindsight being what it is, probably should have rushed to the crystal ball and put in my Penn State forecast then, because there was just a lot to like that leading him toward Happy Valley. The one thing I thought here was, this is a guy who had played at that point one game in his junior college career. So I figured maybe he would give himself the sample size of an entire season. Remember, Lackawanna did not play last fall. That pushed his freshman season into the spring. He'll have his second freshman season this fall, but I thought maybe he'd give it some time, see if other offers materialized, maybe allowed him to take some official visits or get a plan together into the fall. But no, ultimately ready to make this Penn State commitment. And I also find it interesting here, we had a lot of questions coming our way after this, because he wasn't a hot topic kind of name. He's a guy that doesn't carry any kind of rating or ranking right now from 24/7 Sports. And because of all that, there was a lot of questions on the timing of this. Not only was he ready, but Penn State was ready to take this to the finish line. And that is very important to note.
I agree with that. And to me, going a little bit deeper into his connections here, this says something to me about how much Penn State trusts Deion Barnes. And I know we've really preached that, you know, over the last year, Penn State trying to get back into Philly, have some success in Philly. They have Ken Talley in this class. Tyrese Mills, a former teammate of Ken Talley's at Northeast, played on that defense for Deion Barnes. And this shows me there's quite a bit of trust there between James Franklin and Deion Barnes, in the sense that, hey, this kid's on you. You're the one that's seen him most. He has two games of JUCO film, which is, you know, that there's not much to go off right there, but Deion Barnes has seen him, seen him in high school action. You kind of get a feel for what kind of athlete he is. You kind of get a feel for what kind of athlete you have on the roster, and you see if this guy can fit in at this level. So I will correct you. He is an 86 now, 24/7 Sports JUCO rating. 85.78 in the composite rating.
You whipped that one up real fast.
I did not whip that one up.
Wave the wand and the score shows up.
Well, here's what happened is we rate guy. They had these meetings calls or excuse me, these rankings calls on Wednesdays. And he happened to come in on a Wednesday after, or excuse me, on Wednesday morning. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, we got to put him in the queue. They looked at some stuff. They looked at some high school stuff. They looked at some JUCO stuff, some workout stuff that he had, felt mid three. I think that's pretty accurate there. 6'2" 205 kind of fits more into the boundary safety sort of Sam linebacker mix. So I think, you know, he shows some physicality on tape. I'm not sure where he's at as an athlete. Would love to see him. And I think we'll probably get to see him at camp this summer because those junior college players, as we saw with Jair Brown, are now allowed to come and camp with the high school players to get them a little bit of exposure. I feel so bad for the junior college kids in this cycle because no season in the fall, shortened season, if any, in the spring. So for if you were going to junior college to get exposure, that's a tough cookie to swallow right there. He needed to get some academic things straightened out. I think he told Brian Doan he was probably going to go to Morgan State to continue his career. Instead, went to Lackawanna. He's got to get his associate's degree before he can get to Penn State, which is probably going to make it tough for him to get to campus next January, which I think that's his goal. But that's still a lot of classwork that he has to get in there. Again, not much going on, but for where he stands as a recruit, for Penn State to offer him in the first place and nobody else to come on board, it says a lot that James Franklin's taking Deion Barnes at his word right now. And, you know, that says a lot for a graduate assistant.
In 2019, Mills was a senior at Northeast High School in Philadelphia. Deion Barnes was the defensive coordinator. Talk to Mills about kind of how he was utilized by Barnes that season. And that year, he had 8 interceptions, Sean, right around 60 tackles. And he was a hybrid safety. He was playing some linebacker. He was playing some cornerback. And at Lackawanna early, it's very early in his career. He decided, you know, last February he was going to be at Lackawanna. Wasn't able to get to campus until January. Wasn't able to play football for the Falcons until March. But once he was able to get out there, you've seen him kind of used as a versatile cog in that defensive back seven. He's a guy who is playing the safety position, but as he mentioned to me, week one, you're playing a team that part of their foundational offensive set is a fullback that they like to move around. And he was just, you know, he was mirroring the fullback, following the fullback throughout the contest, playing a lot in the box. I do wonder if maybe long-term he could be a factor at the Sam position, but you're right. Deion Barnes was on the phone with this young man this winter, and the message was very clear. Get some good film together. Send it to me. I'm going to present it to the staff, and you're going to get an offer if it's the right fit. That's exactly how it lined up. It was his first game, 4 tackles, a forced fumble, an interception. Deion Barnes gets that footage, sits down, looks over it with Terry Smith, who's the defensive recruiting coordinator and cornerbacks coach here for Penn State. And ultimately, James Franklin is going to give the green light there. And he's got an offer, and we haven't seen a domino effect to this point. And with him committed to Penn State and knowing the track record there and the connections that are in place, I'm curious if many Power 5 programs are really going to put in the time and investment to try to sway him away from the Nittany Lions at this stage. But it's not just Deion Barnes. Ken Talley, a former teammate of his, a guy that he trusts and communicates with at Northeast High School, committed to Penn State's 2022 class last fall. On defense as well, a guy that was very quick to say, hey, come join this class when the offer went out. And Shaka Toney, who just finished up his Penn State career now with the Washington football team as a rookie. You know, there were some shared workouts earlier this year in Philadelphia. So there's a lot that led you to think that this was a possible destination for this recruitment. But I am still surprised that this happened this quickly. And when he gets to campus for the first time, he's going to be a member of this recruiting class. And again, there's just the timing is maybe a bit surprising. The result is not. And you're getting a player that I think you can mix some things up with long term. And as you said, really putting this one in Deion Barnes' kind of basket. This is one that we'll be monitoring long term. And if this kid turns out to be a really impressive player for Penn State, you're going to look back at this as a really strong evaluation moment in Deion Barnes' kind of fledgling college football career.
And I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush here, but when you get into Philly, when you get into some of the public schools, you've got some really good athletes without the academics. They get into junior college and maybe start to flourish. The guy that reminds me kind of a Gerald Bowman, who was an Imhotep guy, really didn't have anything going on, had some academic issues, went out to Los Angeles Pierce College in California, ended up starting for USC. So this is something that we've seen before where guys maybe get overlooked. He had 8 interceptions as a high school senior, so obviously a good high school player, but maybe you just need a different change of setting or a change of scenery or something like that where you can start to flourish. Not saying he's going to be Gerald Bowman, who I think was a high 4-star guy out of junior college, but you certainly get these guys that are overlooked. Jair Brown was in that mold, came out, really didn't have anything going on. I think, was he going to go to Morgan State as well? I know you talked to him. Was
Montclair State, Division III, Montclair State, New Jersey.
Montclair State. So yeah.
Division III.
So hopefully this goes in the right direction for Mr. Mills. We will see what happens there. Again, I see him, as a box safety linebacker type. I'm not sure where he stands athletically. Again, we'd love to see him in camp. So hopefully that can go in that direction. But this is a situation where that we've kind of seen. It's played out before. You can't say it's going to go that direction for Tyrese Mills, but there's certainly some precedent for that. So I'll be watching this one closely for the next year or so. Just looking at him, I wish I knew what kind of athlete he was. Obviously, he's done some good things at the high school level, done some good things at the junior college level. Still very much a wait and see for me from the on-field perspective. Penn State always needs safeties. They kind of struck out there at the end of the 2020 cycle and the end of the 2021 cycle. So kind of backfilling some numbers there and bringing in a guy that's going to have, I think, 4 years to play 3, since they did get that free year, or not free year, but they did get the eligibility back from him being a true freshman.
Yeah, he will bring more eligibility to campus than the other Lackawanna guys have in the past. And there's been a collection of them. This is the third time in 4 cycles where a Lackawanna safety will end up at Penn State. You had Jair Brown and Jaquan Brisker in past cycles. That could be your starting tandem at safety in 2021 if it turns out that way after preseason competition. In general, we've seen this will be number 5 in terms of Lackawanna signees since the 2019 cycle. Beyond the safeties, you have wide receiver Norvell Black, who doesn't seem like he's going to factor in much this year, and Anthony Wigan on the offensive line, who's fighting for a role in the 2-deep. And so Lackawanna has been a spot where Penn State has hammered. They try to kind of get the cream of the crop on an annual basis and to basically provide a supplemental piece to what they're doing recruiting high school prospects. And in terms of what they're doing at defensive back right now, Sean, this is the only definitive guy we know. And as we said, Tyrese Mills, maybe he has a future at the second level playing a little linebacker, but Makai Flowers maybe ends up at safety, but he's really impressed at wide receiver on the camp circuit. You got a firsthand look at that. He's the guy who's warranted a 4-star prospect ranking at that position on offense. Defensive back, though, there's a lot of movement to be done, Sean. Jaden Bellamy is a guy that just put Penn State in his top group on Thursday. He's already confirmed an official visit upcoming in June. One of 2 players from his high school program who have shown serious interest in Penn State and vice versa at the defensive back spot. Ryan Turner is a name that we've talked about spending time on campus next month. He's now officially committed to Ohio State on Thursday. So a couple moving parts there that I just wanted to mention. And we've got a guy here on the board now on the commitment list, but it just seems like there's still so much to sort through. And based on the upcoming visit plan, we're going to get out of June, I think, with a very much greater grasp of where things are trending at defensive back.
I think there's still a bunch of names out there. You mentioned Bellamy, of course, Jaden Gould, his teammate at Bergen Catholic. I think Penn State pushes there. I think they're in the lead right now. Keon Saab, the 5-star out of IMG, that is obviously always on the radar for, he's on the radar for everybody. I talked to KJ Winston this weekend down at the Under Armour camp.
Keenan Nelson's
more of a corner. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning safety here. But yeah, when you talk about corners, you talk about guys like Julian Humphrey from Houston is going to come up for an official visit. Jordan Allen's probably in that corner safety type of role as well. Christian Driver we have as a receiver, but I could definitely see him playing safety kind of in the same mold as Makai Flowers. So, there's a bunch of names that are still out there that, I think they're probably going to have to go out of the region. you know, those Bergen Catholic guys, I think are good. You'll see what happens from a medical standpoint with Jaden Gould, but I'm a big fan of Jaden Bellamy, who we've mentioned several times on the podcast, has that top six with Penn State in it, has a Penn State official visit set up in June as well. So there's options out there. I'd be curious how it comes together. I know that they always like loading up on defensive backs, probably forecasting for those guys right now, but I don't know that I'm including Tyrese Mills in that number because he is a junior college kid. We've talked about this several times before. They kind of factor in differently with the eligibility remaining. But yeah, there's still plenty of room in that defensive backs class.
Well, Penn State goes from 8 commitments to 10 commitments very quickly. Offensive lineman Malik McNeil, Tyrese Mills now on board as well. And this group will continue to grow in the coming months with the official visits going to launch a lot of decisions early in the summer. One of those official visits confirmed this week, and a guy that you caught up with just a few days ago, Sean, there was a story up on Lines 24/7 following a conversation with him down at the Maryland Under Armour regional camp. Andre Roy, he is set to visit June 18th, which is another busy weekend for me here in Happy Valley, and another offensive lineman with a major build.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's going to be on campus twice in June. So that'll be something to look forward to. That official visit, getting that locked up is big. I know Maryland's a big player there, but I think Penn State, if they push, can really be right in the thick of things. Obviously, with the offensive line, you've got two guys on board, Drew Shelton, who I'm a huge fan of, Drew Shelton, Malik McNeil, who's obviously a big, big boy as well. So they're growing them big on the Penn State board. Ryan Brubaker was up for an unofficial for a scrimmage a couple of weeks ago. He'll be back for an official visit. So it's kind of like DB. There's guys that are, you know, you look forward to June. They've got official visits set up. Emil Wagner, from Ohio, has got an official visit. So that'll be something to watch moving into the summer. Although with two guys on board, maybe you can turn up the heat on a guy like Andre Roy and see where he stands at the end of his official visit.
Learned a lot from what you just said, but what I loved the most was the unofficial visit. I don't think I've heard you say that before on this podcast. And if you have, I'm sorry I missed it, but I love that term for everything we just experienced in college football recruiting.
The last year, you know, 14 months, unofficially unofficial. But yes, now we're going to move on. By the way, bringing in Steve Wiltfong from 24/7 Sports as our special guest. We had Brian Doan earlier this week. You get Steve Wiltfong on this one. From my standpoint, a good conversation with Steve. He just watched Drew Allar at the Elite 11. He just put in a big crystal ball pick for Penn State. And I kind of forgot to turn my microphone on this, so you get a little beard scratch. I apologize for that. I took as much out of that as I could, but hopefully it does not deter from the conversation. So after a little break, a word from our sponsors, we're going to come back with Steve Wiltfong. Then after that, got a little bit of quarterback news. We got some from a five-star mailbag question, and it should be good to go for a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Lions 24/7 podcast. Joining us fresh off a workout, so you know he is pumped to be back on, Steve Wiltfong, 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting. Steve, it's been a while, but we're happy to have you back.
Fitzy, my man, it's rocking and rolling in Happy Valley right now with this Penn State recruiting class. It's number six in the 24/7 Sports composite recruiting rankings, and they're in on a lot of guys moving forward, man. So I know it's been a lot of fun to be on Lions 24/7 these days. Going into the summer, where obviously Penn State, as well as every school in the country, is going to be hosting a ton of official visitors in June.
Well, you've seen the difference here. You know, Penn State, obviously one of the schools probably hit harder by not being able to get kids to campus, official visits especially. So just opening it up, I know the staff is excited to get guys back, and I know that you've been following this pretty closely. Just opening it up, what kind of difference do you think that can make for the Nittany Lions?
Well, I think Penn State's one of those schools that if they can get a young man to Happy Valley and around that atmosphere and around that coaching staff in person, it's a built-in advantage more so than other schools with the personalities they have on staff and the facilities and kids being able to see it in person. And Penn State's backyard, there's not as many players as maybe some other areas of the country where it's a little more fruitful from a talent standpoint. And so Penn State out of region recruiting some, you know, guys that had never seen the campus with their own eyes, it was a little tougher for them than some other schools nationally.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got guys like Jaywon Sider, who's got a wheelhouse in Florida, and those kids aren't visiting, you know, during a dead period. So it's just one of those things. A guy that hasn't met with the staff on campus yet, but is committed. You saw him last weekend, Drew Aller, quarterback from Ohio. You got a chance to see him at the Elite 11 in Indianapolis, took home the 24/7 Sports Alpha Dog Award, took home the pro day performance on the day. What'd you think?
Well, I think he's the thing that the Penn State program is kind of missing under center. I think he has all the traits to play championship level football in Happy Valley, 6'4.5", 228 pounds, but still developing physically. It'll be interesting to see what Penn State strength and conditioning program does with them. I mean, he is going to be a big, ferocious guy under center when it's all said and done, but he can move. He can throw with accuracy from a bunch of different arm angles. He's a natural thrower of the football. He's got the power to throw to all levels of the field and be accurate. You can attack downfield with Drew Aller. I just like the command and the competitiveness that he showed out there as well.
What do you think of the film? I know we go out there, we get these guys in a camp setting like the Elite 11, shorts and a t-shirt, et cetera, and we, you know, maybe fall for them. But his film seems to back up what he was able to do in that sort of simulated setting.
No, absolutely. I mean, the film is why we moved him into the top 100, and then he goes out and validates it in a camp performance. He plays the position with pace, every throw is in his tool bag. And again, the different arm angles is what makes him unique. Sometimes these quarterbacks, you know, they can be accurate on air with the throwing from the same arm slot and all of that. But Drew Aller is just he's a natural athlete. He's a basketball player. Medina High School, where he goes to school, they have one of the best high school basketball programs in the state of Ohio. So he's not like one of their horses, but you know, he's been on their varsity, and so he's just a good natural athlete under center.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those. You said earlier maybe championship level quarterback. Yeah, obviously, I think he's got a ways to go. You know, get that completion percentage up. But what do you think? You know, from what you know about Penn State's quarterback room, from what you know about what they've brought in, going back to Sean Clifford, you know, where do you think he sits among what they've been able to do so far? And what do you and do you think things change with Mike Yurcich? I guess I kind of set you up to talk about one thing with another. But do you think things are moving in a different direction with Mike Yurcich?
Well, I think that Penn State wants to be an offense where they can go out there and score 40 points a game. You know, that's what you have to be to win the national championship, to hoist the crystal ball. You got to be prolific on offense. And I think that Mike Yurcich, over the course of his career, has shown that guys have been prolific on offense from his days at Oklahoma State with Mason Rudolph under center, throwing for over 4,000 yards a couple times to, you know, even, and Drew pointed this out, Sam Ellinger, he thought he took a step forward with the 1 year that Yurcich worked with him at Texas, just hearing his name called in the NFL draft. He was at Ohio State in between, with obviously being under Ryan Day, who's known as one of the best offensive minds in college football. I think Coach Yurcich brings a lot of pedigree to Penn State's program, and I think Drew Aller. And then you even have Bo Pribula, who I think is talented. Those are two guys that I think, you know, Penn State can be very exciting on offense with, particularly with the way that they've been recruiting the receiver position. I think they've gotten some dynamic guys and have another one in this class and Caden Saunders. And so I think that James Franklin made a terrific offensive coordinator hire and Mike Yurcich. And I think that name, I think he's a big name in college football too. And that helps attract a quarterback like Drew Aller, but also just the how hardworking Coach Yurcich is on the trail. I mean, he knew of Drew Aller early on, probably maybe because he was at Ohio State. I don't know, but he was ahead of the curve. on Drew Allard before all these other programs came in, and maybe they had him on the radar, but they didn't offer him. You know, Yersuch had an early offer out to Drew Allard, did as good a job as anybody recruiting him, and you know, he can't wait to play for Mike and at Penn State.
You said the magic words there, crystal ball. We'll get to your latest pick here in a second. But first, you went down to IMG a couple of weeks ago to check out the prospects down there. Obviously, always, as you said earlier, fruitful at IMG. Penn State has a commitment down there in Drew Shelton. What did you see from Shelton? What did you see from some of the other guys at Penn State's courting down there?
Well, I expect Drew Shelton to be a three-year starter at Penn State, you know, 6'5", 290 pounds, somewhere in there. They're real pleased with his progress at IMG, and I thought that he – you know, looked good down there in workouts, and he's a player that you could build this offensive line class around. Just getting Malik McNeil, who's 6'8", 340 pounds, with a ton of potential, and the Nittany Lions are in and on quite a few other guys. But I like the foundation of Drew Shelton and Malik McNeil here coming in behind guys like Landon Tangwell.
Got other guys down there, Keon Sobs down there, Alu Ba, just a couple other guys. You mentioned Keon Sob coming out of it, that Penn State seems to be, you know, kind of in, fairly in the mix for that, going to get an official visit in June.
Yeah, he's coming up there, and he's known the Penn State staff as long as any. When you're looking at the serious contenders for Keon, his relationship with Penn State, I would think, has been the longest. You know, Georgia, Clemson are a couple of the others that I know are high on the list for Keon. I actually need to, when I hang up here, I need to go see if anything else has been, any other visits have been planned for him. So I'll do that when we hang up. But yeah, he looked terrific as a safety linebacker rover in that setting, and the way college football is being played, where offenses are trying to put up 40 on you. He's a guy that can kind of erase mismatches out in space, depending on the personnel the other team has, and would be a nice a weapon to have on defense for anyone who's lucky enough to get him.
Well, we teased it a little bit earlier. New crystal ball from Steve this week. I'll let you roll this one in. It's a big one.
Yeah, nothing earth shattering, but deny Dennis Sutton, consensus top 100 recruit out of Owings Mills, Maryland, McDonough School. I like where Penn State stands, but you know, it's not going to be easy to get him in the boat. He's going to go visit Alabama and Georgia in June as well, with Penn State sandwiched in the middle. So Georgia, we've seen Georgia and we've seen Alabama be very convincing in the past. And but going into the visit, the poll says Penn State's the one to beat.
Yeah, that's one that we've been tracking for a while. And we talked about him with Doan last a couple of days ago, actually. Great kid, would be a huge pickup for Penn State. Obviously, the competition level, no slouch there in Bama and Georgia. They recruit as well as anyone in the country. But it will be an interesting June for Mr. Dennis Sutton. Beyond that, you've been hearing some other Penn State buzz. What do you got for us?
I'm going to answer your question, Fitzy. I'm going to just pull up the offer list on Lions 247, which is always a good feature. I think Penn State's in, you know, you have your quarterback, Drew Aller, so I've already moved, and Bo Prabula, so I'm moving down to running back here. And I think you guys are way in the mix for a lot of guys. You know, Coach Sider, one of the best at what he does as a recruiter and a position coach. But yeah, I think Penn State's the one to beat for Nicholas Singleton going into his official visit. So I think I'm going to log a crystal ball forecast there in favor of Penn State here in the near future. But Ramon Brown and George Pettaway are two backs from Virginia that I think the Nittany Lions are in a strong spot for, if not the leader, for Ramon Brown. And then Omarion Hampton is taking an official visit in June, and the North Carolina native, the Tar Heels, are in a good spot. But I think Penn State's way in that one too, with Florida and Ohio State also in play there. And then Darius Clemens, top 247 receiver from out west. I know the recruits are working him real hard. You know, Drew Aller mentioned that. I think you have our lead insider out there, Brandon Huffman, with a prediction of Penn State right now. So I think that tells you the pulse for one of the more dynamic guys. It would be nice to add him to what's already in the boat at receiver. I saw Jerry Cross recently work out, Sean, and he's a big, good-looking kid at 6'6", 218 pounds. I think there's a lot of potential for him to be developed into a good one. And And then Coach Trotwine, man, he's swinging at a lot of offensive linemen. Y'all get an official visit from Emil Wagner. Jacob Allen's been on campus for self-guided. I think Penn State's in the middle of that one. Ryan Brubaker has interest in Penn State as well. Alu Ba is going to come up on an official visit. Andre Royer, I think Penn State may be in the lead for out of St. Francis Academy. So they're trying to chop wood on Carson Hintzman, but that may be an uphill battle there for y'all. But you're in the game and in the race. You know, along the defensive front, there's some guys that are on my radar. You know, obviously, Denai is forecasted in the class right now. We'll see how that goes moving forward. Joe Strickland, I think if Penn State's pushing there, it's them in Indiana for the four-star from the Indianapolis area. So I think, you know, Penn State is in a good spot there for that edge player. Moving to linebacker. Let's see if I like the, I think Sean Murphy likes Penn State. I think you just had an update on him, but I think Penn State's in that one. Wesley Bissainthe, who's one of the best linebackers in space in the country, he's going to come up on an official visit. So we'll see how that one moves the needle there. And then in the secondary, Sean, you know, Jillian Humphreys, one of the fastest corners in the country, he's going to take an official visit. Jaden Bellamy has Penn State in the top six. He's a guy that's kind of been heavily recruited as well. And so Christian Driver, he's an athlete recruit, but that could play receiver as well as safety. I think Penn State is at the top going into that visit. But so many other guys slated for an official visit. That's the, I may have left a name or two out there, but a lot of blue chippers high on the Nittany Lions.
There's a lot of names still on that board, and June is going to be so, so interesting, not just with Penn State, but nationally, just to follow all this stuff. So I hope you're ready. I know you're ready, but I hope our listeners are ready. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of visits, a lot of unofficial visits. Camp season's going to be in, so you might see some new offers, and with that, maybe some spring commitment or some sudden commitments. But we appreciate having you on the show as always, Steve. You can follow him, SWiltFong247. Of course, he's always on the site at Lions247. Steve, thanks for joining us once again.
Appreciate you, man. I love being over at the Lions Pride. And Fitzy, you're my main man. We'll talk to y'all later.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
The one and only Steve Wiltfong bringing us plenty of insight on the recruiting trail, all things Penn State there. Thank you to him as always. Be sure to follow his coverage, everything he does up on 247sports.com. He is all over the place, plugged in. No one does it quite like Steve Wiltfong. We're happy to have him on board as teammates. Sean, turning attention toward the quarterback position, and this is a spot that is locked in, barring any crazy changes for the 2022 class. You've got two guys on board there with Bo Prabula and Drew Aller, who you just discussed quite a bit with Steve. But beyond that, you know, we're still learning a little bit about who Mike Yurcich likes, how he's going to approach things with the 2023 cycle, the 2024 cycle. Remember, he's going to bring some names of his own from his past stops, but he's also learning more about this class and regionally. That includes a couple guys that I was in contact with this week. And I'll start with Drew Viotto. He's a player I've mentioned before on this podcast, Sean, from Canada, but playing high school ball in the United States. He is
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, just a few times when it comes to Penn State, most recently with Christian Veyer at quarterback. But Viotto's a guy who has worked out with the same quarterback trainer that worked with Christian coming out of high school. You know, Penn State has been engaged there. It's been Mike Yurcich, some James Franklin. He will be on campus, Sean, the first weekend of June, which is when Penn State's going to launch this offseason prospect camp. Planning for a bunch of them. The first would be June 5th. We're still waiting to see if we'll be able able to get on the field as well. But we know that Drew Viotto will be there, and a guy that in the 2023 class beginning to develop, some momentum as a FBS prospect, hasn't quite taken off with the Power Five launch pad, but he's been very active on the camp circuit. He hasn't started as a full-timer at the varsity level yet, so this is going to be a big fall ahead for him as a junior. But someone that I think if Penn State wants to make a move early, he's going to be very quick to reciprocate that interest. And I know he's just excited to be able to show the staff what he can do with the football in his hands in person.
I think all these guys, his 2022s, 23s, 24s, I talked with some quarterbacks down at the Elite 11 last week, and they're just itching to get out there and throw for some of these offensive coordinators. Usually you do that in the spring of whatever year you're in, as these coaches come along and you get to do these private workouts that, you know, they stand along the side and watch them during the evaluation period. You don't even get that. You didn't get camps last year. So these guys are itching to get out there. And I know that the coaches are just sort of over the moon about having the chance to evaluate these guys once again.
And Viotto, by the way, listed 6'4", 215 pounds, a big kid, playing ball in Michigan. The program that he's going to be taking over as a starter, I believe it's three consecutive starters there, have gone on to play football at the Division I level. So a spot where quarterbacks have flourished. He's looking to put together some varsity film here in the States and could go a long way. Bowling Green, Central Michigan, Syracuse have offered. Penn State going to get an early look at him pretty soon. Formerly of the 2023 class, but recently reclassified to the 2024 class, is Dante Reno at the Loomis Chaffee School in Connecticut, playing for a familiar coach for Penn State's recruiting staff, and Jeff Moore, who was the coach at St. Thomas More in Connecticut a couple years back when they signed Tyler Rudolph out of that program. He's now at Loomis Chaffee. You're now seeing Dante Reno there transferring in and reclassifying in one fell swoop, essentially. Penn State's been pretty engaged with the coaching staff there, really going back a month or 6 weeks or so, Sean, and they've had dialogue with Mike Yurcich yesterday. In fact, Dante said, you know, he actually had some communication with James Franklin and Mike Yurcich. He will also be on campus for that first weekend of June. A guy who's really ascended during recent weeks, Arizona, Iowa, Purdue, West Virginia, among Power Five programs that have offered Dante Reno. His father, Tony Reno, has been the head coach at Yale in the Ivy League since 2012. And one other note here, because this was asked about when I wrote the article up on Friday morning, 17 years old just turned. So he is going to be an older freshman, going to be 20 years old before he plays, has a chance to play in his first college football game following this reclassification. So two different quarterbacks I'm throwing your way, both with an interesting background that is unique to them. And I think Dante Reno, as you said, as reflected in the offer sheet, further along as a Power Five prospect at this point.
20 years old as a freshman, man. That's something. His classmates are going to want to befriend him when they make it onto campus with him. But now that's crazy to think about, just so far in advance. But if you've got an offer as a 2023 or 2024 quarterback right now, you're firmly on the radar. It's a really good start for those guys. So, so camp season, can't wait to see these guys throw. Can't wait to see anybody out there, to be honest with you. Of course, Penn State will get rolling. I believe the 5th is their first camp. The team camp is the one I'm looking forward to, which is right before the break, June 22nd, I believe it is. So, anxious to see, Bo Prabula is going to be there with Central York, be a bunch of commits on hand that weekend as well for their official visits. So camp season's right around the corner. We talked visits with Steve Wiltfong. We can talk camps with you. There's about to be some activity buzzing here for us.
It's a beautiful thing, and more coverage on both those quarterbacks just to get a better kind of lay of the land on where those prospects stand ahead of their visits, up on lines247.com. Both of those published on Friday on Viotto and Reno. We spent a lot of time, Sean, this offseason, and rightly so, breaking down the dynamics of the 2022 class and the official visits that are upcoming for this group, and Penn State sustaining its spot inside the top 10 for rankings. But to me, this summer and the ability to assess this talent in person for the staffs at Penn State and just really across FBS football, It's a lot of it is about the 2023 and 2024 cycle. Guys who have just not put together any high school film because their freshman year got washed out, or they made strides between freshman and sophomore year and they never got a chance to play that sophomore season, or they only got three or four games to play it because of the circumstances. There are going to be so many guys blowing up, and there already are when you're talking about freshmen and sophomore, rising sophomores and rising juniors on the camp circuit in the summer. But this year just feels like there is going to be such a mystery element to it, because kids just haven't played high school football and yet they have really developed as athletes, and they're going to go off and they're going to flex on different campuses in the next couple months.
Yeah, a guy like Dylan Gooden, who picked up a Penn State offer this week at Good Counsel, 6'6", 200 and some pounds, probably going to be defensive end. Brian Doan saw him a couple of weeks ago. But this is a kid, you think about it, did not play, you know, probably these guys did not play in 2019 because they were probably buried on the depth chart as they were just growing. And all of a sudden you don't get a 2020 fall season. You finally get a 2020 spring season, and you have, you sort of go out there and kill it. Now all of a sudden you're blowing up in the spring, which, you know, this is a time when evaluation periods are out. You've seen guys like Jason Away blow up at this point, but it's kind of different now when you put some film to it. So it's really interesting to follow, because it's no longer, okay, you get your fall tape in and then all of a sudden there's a rush of offers. Then you see the spring evaluation period. It's been all over the place. And there have been guys that have jumped on the radar early that may have faded at this point. There are guys that haven't been on the radar at all, and then all of a sudden they blow up. Penn State offered, and the name is escaping me right now, yesterday morning, a wide receiver in Virginia. He had 9 touchdowns in 3 games. Now the competition's not very good at all, but you throw on the tape and it's like, whoa, this kid has some size. He's got some speed. And he actually plays for Anthony Poindexter's brother in Virginia. So there's some connections there, but all of a sudden he picks up his second offer from Penn State. Virginia was already in on him. So that's the type of guys that we're looking at right now that just sort of snap out of nowhere and all of a sudden they've got 5 offers.
I think the tricky part here, and maybe the imaginative part, if you're a college coach, is looking at a player who maybe hasn't played live action football, extensive live action football since 2019. Maybe if they didn't play much as a freshman, all the way back in 2018 was the last time they've played extensive football. Now you're seeing them. They could be 60 pounds heavier. They could be 4 inches taller. What position are they? Do they know what position they're at? The high school coaches that get to work with them who just missed that all this time, fundamentally, where is the kid? So I think there's going to be a lot of really impressive athletes, where a lot of it is even more so open-ended than in years past or summers past, where the kid's not quite sure what position he is because it's been a while since he lined him up. They may have an idea of where he's projected, but to me, there's going to be more guys than ever who kind of fall into that athlete category when you're assessing some of these rising sophomores, rising juniors.
Or these kids think they know the positions, but that's clearly, that can clearly change.
Yeah, right. Very quickly.
There's a bunch of 2022 guys, you know, guys that have seemingly been on the radar for a long time. I talked to Steve about this, and you look at a guy like Keon Saab, who's been a safety prospect. I guess he's listed as an athlete, but he's been looked at as a safety for the longest time. Well, all of a sudden he's 6'2", 205, 210. Maybe he's a Sam prospect for Penn State. Maybe he eventually becomes a linebacker. These guys that were, you know, on the radar early just might not be the same. You know, they've may have filled out, they may have overfilled out or hit an extra growth spurt or something. You don't know where some of these guys are landing. And I think that's probably one of the interesting dynamics of camp season, is you're bringing in a guy, say Oliver Bridges from Maryland, goes to the Bullis school. This guy is nearly 6'3", 185 pounds, which, you know, that says to me, he came on the radar as a corner. He's probably not as fluid as he could be as a corner, but all of a sudden maybe skips safety and goes right to that Sam outside linebacker, that field linebacker position where he can run. I mean, he can flat out run. So maybe he fits in better there. So these are the kind of things that college coaches are dealing with. You've got some guys where it's cut and dry. You know what position they're going to, but now all of a sudden you see some of these guys that are projected 2 spots up in that rotation going from corner to an outside linebacker or something like that. Maybe Jaden Gould maybe even be in that mix. Some bigger guys that have filled out over the pandemic and you haven't gotten a chance to see them. So I think that's a very interesting dynamic, especially when you're trying to figure out where you're allotting scholarships for this particular class, because that all can change once you get a set of eyes on someone.
We have so much to learn this summer. We're excited to do that. We'll be bringing you the updates here on the podcast once the practice field is filled with prospects again. Just a month away now, Sean. So we'll find out pretty soon what this is all going to look like. But for now, we'll switch over to our five-star mailbag and take a grab into there. Once again, really strong questions coming our way at Apple Podcasts. Drop your five-star rating and review. Throw in your question, anything regarding Penn State football, the recruiting landscape. We're gonna do our best to feature it here on the show, and we're going to do that right now. Question goes like this, Sean. After the completion of spring practice, how would you rank the list of transfer portal needs? The question asker here also throws in, can you rank those out of quarterback, defensive end, linebacker, safety, and wide receiver?
That's very, very tough, because you can make an argument for all five of these positions to be number one, because you look at what a speed receiver can do for you. And I probably put receiver at number five here, even though they're still looking, what a speed receiver can do for you, not only to take the top off a defense, but potentially as a kick returner, potentially to help you out in special teams. But to me, I'm going to go with quarterback, and you don't know kind of where you stand coming out of the spring. I think you probably feel about the same as you did going into it. And they said going into it, it's certainly a spot that they want to explore to add depth, to maybe add some competition to that room. You're looking at a guy like TJ Finley at LSU. He hit the transfer portal this week. Big kid. I mean, this kid's like 6'6". This kid is the Jamarcus Russell comparison in terms of size, like 6'6", 250. Started five games as a true freshman, was kind of up and down, but he's got some eligibility left. If you bring him in, I don't know that he's going to unseat Sean Clifford or anything like that, but you've got some competition that has some eligibility remaining. So I think that would be an intriguing option there. Not saying they're going to go all in on him or anything like that, but I think that you got to find another scholarship quarterback. You're not sure that Taquan Roberson can come in and win you a game right now. I don't know if you can find somebody maybe from the FCS ranks that's got some, that has some experience under his belt. You could possibly go in that direction. And by the way, I hear my voice failing me. I apologize once again. It's mowing season. The allergies are not going away. I'm sorry about that. But yeah,
you were yelling at recruits on the field at the camp on Sunday.
No, it's mowing season. It's mowing season. That's why our ratings are so popular right now. I know guys are out there on their tractors and their push mowers listening to us, as I do the same when I'm mowing my own yard. So I would put quarterback up there. Safety still a need, especially when you take a look at what they've got across the board in terms of experience. There's not much there. Not really sure how serious Jair Brown's injury and where he factors in coming out of spring, even though we expected him to be the starter. So that's, you move Keaton Ellis out there over there, so you feel a little better. But from what we saw from Keaton Ellis, still a ways to go there. Linebacker, you can probably supplement that a little bit with safety, as we talked about John Sutherland potentially playing in that role, maybe Jair Brown playing in that role as well. But I'd like to see somebody come in there. I don't know that it's possible. As we mentioned, that's a tough sell job with essentially three starters in place. Bringing in a guy that's going to actually be productive is going to be tough, unless you find somebody that really has, a lifelong goal of playing linebacker at Penn State. You'd certainly love to stumble into that. Defensive end, as we talked earlier, probably not an experienced guy that's coming in to start, probably a guy that's a little bit younger, still has some development left. So I think that would probably be my order out of them. And they're still looking everywhere. They're still looking at offensive line, receiver we talked about before. So it's still open at a bunch of spots. You're just trying to make your team better at this point.
Transfer portal is open 24/7, and it seems to be a topic that pops back up here every other episode at least. I think when you look at the positions presented, and you just did a great job breaking it down, so I'm not going to rehash everything you just said, but I feel like the
appreciate that. Yeah.
Quarterback, it's still in the same spot as it was going in the spring. Linebacker to me is the area where, out of all these mentioned, feels like it's been trending toward the thin side of things comparatively, because defensive end, you added Zariah Fisher during the offseason. What we heard and what we saw from Nick Tarbert and Arnold Ebikade this spring, provide some reassurance on what you got over there. Jesse Luketa, if we're telegraphing a potential move to defensive end, that's going to help fortify things a bit. Guy's played a lot of football. He does not need to bulk up, put on 20 pounds to play up there. Safety, you've just added Keaton Ellis. There's still a lot to learn about that room. There's no doubt about it, but you've added a player there. And wide receiver, Marquise Wilson, kid's a playmaker. I want to see what he can do with the full summer of working out at that spot, getting work with the quarterbacks. But quarterback, you've added nobody. And at linebacker, you've lost Lance Sticks into the transfer portal. Whether he was going to be a starter, he wasn't. He was going to be a guy in that room and someone that was going to play football for you and be able to get on the field. That's kind of the problem right now, is how many of those scholarship guys are going to be available for you. If Luketa's out of that room, there's another guy crossed off the list. Good things heard about Tyler Elsden. Good things heard about Kobe King. Both those guys flashed a bit in their own right this spring, but it's a big step forward if you're going to be counting on them to play significant snaps in Big Ten football here. So to me, linebackers probably crept up to the number two spot. I still look at quarterback, and you've got to have at least a couple guys in that room that you feel like you can go out and win with. And whoever you're bringing in at this point, though, I just wonder, is it going to be a guy who's gravitating closer to your QB3 in terms of what he's bringing to that room, or a guy who's gravitating more towards QB1 level of play? And I just don't know if it's going to be the QB1 level guy at this stage of the calendar with limited time, and a guy who's going to be taking a chance on your room as well. Maybe linebacker is the more quote unquote easily addressed of the two. If you're looking to get someone who's going to play and someone who has played extensively at the college level, I just have a tricky time understanding the quarterback matchup for them, because it's got to be a fit on both ends. And right now where we are, what, 4 months before kickoff, 3 months before preseason camp, with the installation of a new offense, who's going to climb into this situation and be trending more towards the QB1 versus a guy who's kind of just fodder for your practice field work?
And the guy that you kind of were thinking about has a torn Achilles, is not going to play at all this year. So that's a tough one. And I agree. I think linebacker probably more reachable is probably the term that you're going for, in terms of there's going to be a greater, there always is. There's a greater supply of linebackers out there.
Now, if that matches a wish list, I don't know, but there will be more of a significant list of guys who have done tangible things at the FBS level.
Yeah, I agree. So it's going to be tough. They're out there checking out every potential avenue here. We reported on one last week in the defensive backfield. So, I mean, it's even spots where you think that you're good. If you think this guy is a legitimate upgrade, a guy like John Dixon, you feel like cornerback was good, all of a sudden you bring in Dixon, he can compete in that room. So that's the sort of guy that you're maybe looking at as a BPA. And we're in draft season now, best player available. So it's a tough line to walk, especially a quarterback, because if you bring in a guy that's got eligibility left, Taquan Roberson might be like, okay, I'm out. And maybe that doesn't have an impact a couple of years down the line. Maybe it does. Who's to say? So very interesting following the portal. It's never a dull moment in there. And I think we're going to see that as guys end their semesters, as spring ball, completely comes to a close here. It's going to be interesting to see who hits that portal with some sort of potential to play at this level.
Former Harvard offensive lineman Eric Wilson will become the fifth scholarship transfer addition for Penn State this offseason. This summer, you've already got four others who went through spring practice. We'll see if number six, or who knows, number seven is out there between now and preseason camp. But certainly something that Penn State will continue to monitor and will continue to monitor here at Lions 24/7. Covered a lot on the roster growth, potential and otherwise, for Penn State through the transfer portal, through all the recruiting talk today. Sean, do we have anything else to add aside from, again, tipping our cap to Steve Waltfong for hopping on the show?
Nope, I'm at the end of my rope talking here, so I'm good for the day. We appreciate everybody following us, and I think it's following now, not subscribing, but check us out on Apple Podcasts. Give us the ratings, give us the questions. We're going to be leaning on your questions. As Tyler told me offline, this is not the time that we're trying to force anything into an episode, but we will take all the content we can get.
Yes. And with that said, next week, we do plan on putting the spotlight on some of the 2022 NFL draft prospects at Penn State. Guys, we're looking at seniors, juniors, and yes, even third year freshmen who will be eligible for that draft next spring. We look forward to talking with you next week. We'll come back with a couple more episodes. In the meantime, send us your questions. Hop on to Lions247.com and engage with us on the message boards. On behalf of Sean, I'm Tyler Donahue. This is the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.